Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Welcome to the State of the Race. It is Friday, November 1st, 2024. We're 4 days away from the general election. Most early voting has concluded already. It's really election weekend, and we'll get you as many episodes as we can of State of the Race before the election begins. Quick reminder that we have Blaze TV coverage, blazetv.com/stew. If you use the promo code STEW40, or if you go to blazeelection.com/stew, you'll get $40 off your subscription, and you can join us for, I don't know, 6-7 hours of election coverage on election night. It's going to be a little bit different than MSNBC and CNN are going to provide. I think you'll enjoy that, but please join us. And after all that coverage is over, way into the early hours of the morning, we will have additional coverage at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Your questions and answers there. What's to come up in this episode? Well, LeBron James has made an endorsement. A new Fox poll of North Carolina is out. And why are there fewer polls this year? Is that right? It seems that way. Are there fewer this year than in previous years? We'll get into that as well. The key metrics today, of course, the Pulse cast. The latest has Donald Trump with a slight tick up in the last 24 hours at a 53.06% chance of winning the election. Kamala Harris at 46.94% chance. Very, very close. As we look at our candidate updates for the day, Donald Trump is narrowly ahead of Kamala Harris in North Carolina. This is including this is according to a Fox News poll, which is out today. Trump is up 49-47 among likely voters. Third party candidates receiving a total of 4%. Usually, it's, you know, I don't know if it's going to be that high. That'll be an interesting thing to watch. Among the larger universe of registered voters, Harris is up by 1%. On the expanded ballot, 48-47, and head-to-head, 50-49. What does that mean exactly? Well, when we talk about registered voters, it's everyone who could theoretically vote. We just know that most of those people will have a decision to make on election day, and many of them will decide, I got something else to do. So likely voters is the way they screen through that. Usually they do that by looking at asking different questions. How sure are you to vote? Sometimes there are voters or there are pollsters that will just ask, hey, are you certain you're going to vote? And if they say yes, then they count them as a likely voter. Some of them will look at voting history. If they, skipped 4 straight elections, what are the chances of them voting this time? Probably less than the person who's voted in 5 straight. So that's the way they sort that down. Typically, Republican candidates do a little bit better among likely voters than registered voters, and that's because they're typically more reliable voters, right? They're usually, the evil rich people who, care about their civic duty and not necessarily someone who might be in a different income scale or a different background and maybe isn't just as engaged in that process. So that's how they figure that out. Whether they're right or not is, of course, a bunch of art, not necessarily always exact science. What is exact science is we finally know who to vote for. If you didn't know up until now, I'm about to tell you who to vote for. Well, actually, LeBron James is about to tell you. He has officially endorsed candidate Kamala Harris for president. It's really shocking that the most annoying person in all of society would endorse Kamala Harris. I'm stunned. LeBron says, what are we even talking about here? When I think about my kids and my family and how they will grow up, the choice is clear to me. Vote Kamala Harris. Well, actually, the way your kid is going to grow up is you're going to manipulate the draft to get him on the Los Angeles Lakers. So not sure what Kamala Harris is going to do to help that, but that's kind of how that whole situation works out. By the way, Kamala Harris also endorsed by Steph Curry. Earlier on in the campaign, he is, of course, going through his 40-year-old season, and the Lakers are off to a good start. I'm sure it's all because of Bronny and his contribution to the squad. So why are there fewer polls this election? This is today's focus, and I want to get into this a little bit. It's interesting. There's many, many factors as to why there are fewer polls for us to look at. And there's still a lot of them. There's still a lot of data out there, but fewer polls, and fewer polls by the big institutions, right? Like, you're getting more partisan polls, you're getting more leaked internal polls, you're getting all sorts of content in the polling world, but you're not really getting anything near the levels that we got maybe 4, 8, 12 years ago when it comes to major journalistic operations and universities and such. And there's a few reasons for this. The obvious one is cost, right? I mean, obviously inflation has raised the cost of everything, but that's not really it. It's really, really expensive to do polls, largely because people don't really like to answer the phone anymore. So it's hard to get them on the phone. It means that they have to take, you know, instead of 20 or 30% response rate from years and years and years ago, it's more like 1 or 2%. So you're calling 50 or 100 people just to get one person on the line. It's really, really difficult to do that. So the cost goes up. Of course, we've seen budgets at these places, especially journalistic institutions, slashed. And now that's to a large extent from the internet, but also because they suck so badly and people don't really like them that much. They're all losing money and shutting down. That's a big part of it as well. Polling's really expensive and hard to do if you do it the traditional way. You can get away with cheaper internet polls, panel polls. There are ways to get around the cost, but those polls tend to be a little bit less reliable, or at least thought of that way. I think we'll have a test of that here in just a few days. The other part about it is interesting, and in its way, it's my fault. And if you're listening to this podcast, it's probably your fault too. They kind of call this the Nate Silver effect. And Nate Silver, of course, is probably the most famous person who does his own election model. And what's fascinating about this is years and years ago, people would look at polls and one would come out and it would be really focused on, okay, oh my gosh, you know, the CBS poll came out, this candidate's up by 5 points, and the ABC poll 2 days ago showed they were only up by one, so it's a 4-point move in their direction. And that's not how you compare polls. It's not a good way of looking at momentum. So what happened over the years is people became a little more sophisticated looking at the way polls work. They started looking at polling averages. That was kind of the first move, right? Polling averages came out, and instead of taking one poll, you take a bunch of polls and you average them. And that is a more accurate picture as to what the polls are actually saying. Why? You get a larger sample size. You have a bunch of decisions made by individual pollsters that sort of smooth out when you have an average. And so people stopped really paying attention to individual polls. Then came the Nate Silvers of the world. And Nate and a bunch of others, many of these people are involved in our PulseCast, where you're taking not just the averages of the polls, but also putting things like fundamentals of the race and all these different factors in and creating full-blown election models. And in addition to that, with the rise of the prediction markets like Kalshi and Polymarket and Predictit, and all of those have come along, and they're all different ways to look at the same data. This is why we created the PulseCast in the first place, which was to kind of put our finger on the pulse of all of it, because a lot of these people look at the same data and disagree. So now we've smoothed out that layer with another layer of looking at the information and trying to boil it down to one number. The point here is that each individual poll means less and less and less. It's going into an average, which is going to an election model, which is going into the PulseCast, and people are looking at these things and saying, oh my gosh, like what, why would we spend all this money to come up with one poll when it's just going to be thrown into an average and no one's going to pay attention to it? And there are some reasons to do that, because if you are the one, if you're an accurate pollster, you might get business from campaigns and you might get business from journalistic institutions. So there are reasons to try to be accurate and there are reasons to do polls. There's incentives to get them right. But at the end of the day, the prestige is just not there like it was years and years ago. And you know, it is interesting because so many pollsters now are not really incentivized to put out poll after poll after poll. Maybe they put one out instead of four or six. And that is what we're seeing right now and why a lot of these pollsters are sort of shying away from doing multiple polls or polls that might just be forgotten in a short period of time. We're also going to do a Q&A coming up here in future episodes here, probably tomorrow's episode or maybe the next day, of the state of the race. I want you to stay tuned. We've got the State of the Race coming up. I'm going to try to do one every single day until the election. So I've got, what, 4 more days. So we'll give you a bunch of episodes there leading up till Tuesday. And then we have the election coverage, which is blazeelection.com/stew. You get $40 off right now. Plus, you can get for free youtube.com/stewdoesamerica for the after coverage show. Assuming I have a voice, I will be honest with you, it's possible I won't at that point. But check that out as well. And Stu Does America, as well, as we will do lots on the aftermath in the days after the election. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been State of the Race.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer?